everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and today it's a fun day for me because I've got a friend of mine joining me on the program, and this is one of those cool things where as you go through life, you meet amazing people. And so today, Tim Brandt from Brandt's Driving School joins me. He's based out of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and listen, I'm just going to say, Tim, thanks for being on the show, and then we can talk a little bit more about what it is that you do.
Absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me on, Rob. And yeah, as you said, very well put. You meet great people in life, and you know, I consider you a friend first and foremost. And you know, we've shared many different adventures together. So I'm at your disposal. I'm willing to share whatever thoughts I can with your audience.
Sure. So Tim, let's just start off with this. Brandt's Driving School is not like everybody else's driving school. Okay.
Correct.
Listen, here's the really amazing part about this. The driving instructor that has a school right here in, his name is Blinkhorn. And I can't think of a more fitting name for a driving instructor than Mr. Blinkhorn. However, he's just, I don't want to demean the guy by saying this. He's just your average run-of-the-mill driving instructor. Tell me a little bit about Brandt's Driving School and what kind of sets you guys apart.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, that is a great name for a driving school, Blinkhorn. I will put this out, Rob. My middle name is Park. So somewhere along there, you know, Park, reverse, neutral, drive. It's in my DNA, I think.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Well, what sets us apart, Rob, is that we specialize in helping folks with disabilities either return to driving or get to driving, get their independence, who maybe, you know, a lot of folks never thought they could drive at all. So we help them achieve that goal. For a lot of folks, it's a lifetime goal. For folks that have driven and something happened, you know, traumatically in their life, to get that independence of driving, just to go to the store or go anywhere by themselves is so darn important. That's our main focus, and that's what I focused on for almost 30 years.
You know, it's funny that you say that because, you know, you have helped me getting equipped with a van to get out there and be as independent as possible. There are days when I feel like my van is my lifeline. It's my independence. There are days when it is exactly what you said. My wife just needs somebody to go to the store that's not her, and that happens to be me. And just because I've got the van for my independence, I'm able to get out there. Did you start off with doing adaptive driving training? Like, what's the origin of Brandt's Driving School?
Well, I'll give you my background a little bit. I'll give you the short story since we're limited on time. I graduated from IUP, and as any college graduate, I'm looking for a job. So my background, my degree is in health education. I got a minor in traffic safety. My professors at IUP said, hey, you know, take traffic safety, you know, maybe you could do, driver's ed in the summer if you worked at a school, which was the traditional model here in Pennsylvania for years and years. You know, you had high school teachers and they would teach driver's ed in the summer. So that, I took that, really enjoyed it. And so I graduated from IUP. I got a summer job at a local high school teaching driver's ed. They needed somebody to, so I was putting in 8 to 10 hours a day with high school students, teenagers, and doing driver education, thinking, well, that may lead me into a high school position, a teaching position, or something like that. And so the summer came and went, and in the fall, I didn't have any offers from those high schools. So I had interviewed different places around the state. Really, I expected I would have to move to a different state down south where they were really looking for teachers and things like that. And then I got a call one day from my professor from IUP, my driver ed professor, who was very nationally known. He was very well connected with a lot of different schools. I got a call from him saying, hey, they're looking for a driver educator, evaluator at this place called Hiram G. Andrews Center in Johnstown. I'm from Somerset County originally, so Johnstown is very close. I had heard of Hiram G. Andrews. I never visited, but I knew it was a rehabilitation center. I knew it was a comprehensive center. And of course, you're a college graduate, so I needed a job. So right. I said, absolutely, I'll go. And I can still, it's interesting, Rob, because I can remember my first visit to HGA. And I remember the education director walking me around, giving me a tour of the facility that day, and just thinking, wow, you know, I saw, you know, folks in wheelchairs. I saw all kinds of students walking around and teachers. It was a big facility. And I just thought, wow, it would be very cool to work here. And that's, so I started there on a part-time basis. And then I did eventually get hired full time.
That's cool. See, I've been to Hiram G. Andrews as well. I had the privilege of speaking at their graduation one year
right. As
the commencement speaker. And you are right. There are two things about it that are impressive. Number one is the wide variety of people that are there. And number two is just how big that place is. Because I remember they gave me a statistic about how many acres there are under roof.
12 acres under roof.
That's crazy. Like, that's a large place. You're working at the Hiram G. Andrews Center. You're doing driver evaluations. You're doing driving training.
Yes.
Are you working mostly with young people? Are you working mostly with people that have acquired disabilities or lifelong disabilities? Who are you working with at HGA?
We had a good variety, we had a good mix of students. I'd say primarily young. HGA, of course, is a facility run by the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation in Pennsylvania. So we had most of our students were right out of high school. Maybe they had a disability from birth, you know, spina bifida, cerebral palsy. So we had, that was the majority of our students. I had a lot of young students in my classes, but then we did have folks who were of any ages. I had some students who were in their 60s and they were coming back for physical rehab because HGA has occupational therapy, physical therapy. So they would come there for therapy. And as part of that program, we would want to get them back driving. So I had some a good mix, a good variety of ages with both students who with physical disabilities and students with intellectual disabilities.
So you're at HGA and eventually you decide to kind of move on and form your own driving school. What was the impetus behind that? What gave you the idea to say, you know what, I think I can go bigger?
Maybe I was a little crazy, Rob. I don't know.
Tim, I've known you for a long time, and to say that you're a little crazy is to say I have a little trouble walking, but that's a different story altogether.
That's a different podcast, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, I was at HGA, and when I first got there, they had a car. That was it. There was no van. And, you know, I start getting into it and doing evaluations and driver rehab. And the more I learned about the field, I learned, well, you know, if you're in a power wheelchair, it's really difficult to get in and out of a car. So we need a van. And at that time, really the only option was a Ford E150, a full-size van with a lift and a raised roof and all this. And, you know, which was fine. That was what was available. So we had students from all over the state. And a certain percentage of those students were in power chairs or manual chairs. So I just got to talking with some of the students and I said, well, you know, do you want to drive? And they're, yeah, we want to drive. And they would ask me, can you teach me how? I'm like, well, I don't have a van. So I started checking into it and, you know, no one had really ever pursued it at HGA. So, you know, my supervisor, who's very supportive of me, said, Tim, if you put a plan together, you know, we'll help you get a van. So it took about 2 years. I researched different equipment, different vans. They sent me to conferences and workshops. So I put a plan together to get a van. We got a full-size van, a 4150, and I went big. I went for the moon, Rob. I'm like, hey, if I'm going to ask for something, I'm going to ask for all of it.
Right.
So we went high tech. We went joystick. We went voice controls. After 2 years, we got it approved. We got it built. And so the van program at that point started to take off. So we could get referrals. So folks could come to Hiram G. Andrews, not just for, let's say, business or architectural drafting. If they just wanted driving, they could come for driving. So as the word spread, hey, Tim's got this high-tech van at the center, we started to get more and more referrals from not only across the state, but other states.
Right.
So because to have that level of technology, not a lot of other facilities, state or private, had that. So we started to get more and more referrals, which was a good thing, you know.
Sure.
Business was good. So we kept getting more referrals, and to the point where, you know, some of the folks we had to say, well, we can't help, you know, we're a year out. And after a few years of that, and we had to turn some people away because they didn't fit into the voc rehab model or whatever. We couldn't, and that's what really bothered me the most. I had someone, you know, from Maryland who said, Tim, I need you to help me. And because where I worked, I couldn't say, well, yeah, you can come on up. So that was what first got me started. Well, maybe I could do this on my own. The other reason was, as I started to grow the program at the center, local physicians around Johnstown, Cambria County, started to learn, hey, that Brandt guy does driver rehab, right?
Right.
Here, call him, okay? So I started to get calls from local folks who were, again, retired, so they didn't qualify for voc rehab funding, but they still needed service. So I thought, boy, if I could just get a car and do, you know, maybe do some part-time stuff, you know, and pay for the car and, you know, make a little bit of money, it would be helping a lot of people. So that I really started just part-time with a car and hand controls, and then it grew from there.
Okay, just so our listeners understand, you're talking about vocational rehabilitation. You talk about that as OVR and sometimes voc rehab. What is that program, and what is the intent of that program, so that there are some people that fall into that model and some people that don't?
Right, absolutely. So, yeah, I can clarify that a little bit. So the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation is a state program, and each state has a what we call a VR program. So the purpose of vocational rehabilitation is to help someone either retain a job or to get a job. That's their number one plan. It doesn't matter about age, you know, anything like that. It's a state agency that provides not only for driving, but they help folks in many, many ways, from home modifications to workplace alterations, wheelchairs, different things. But that the Hiram G. Andrews Center is operated, owned, and run by the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Okay, so you kind of start off with this as a side hustle. It's what, because there's certain people that don't fit the model, and you're working with them. And yeah. When what is it that kind of is the light bulb that goes off in your head that says, you know what, it's time for me to make a transition. And instead of doing this just as a side hustle, this is going to become a full-time gig. Because a lot of times what people are doing in life, and you know, I'm talking about entrepreneurs and business people out there who are working a job to pay the bills. And yet there's something else that they have a passion for, that they're doing, that they really enjoy. But I'm always curious, what is it that officially kind of flips the switch for you to say, I'm done with being an HGA employee and now I'm ready to go on my own?
Well, let me tell you, Rob, it wasn't a quick decision. It wasn't, this was a something I thought about for a long time. I'd say that the trigger point was when I had so many people on my waiting list for privately that I thought, well, you know, I could make a go of this myself. It wasn't an easy decision, because it's difficult to leave a very secure job, whether you're with a private company, state government, federal government, you know, when you have a guaranteed paycheck every 2 weeks,
yes,
it's difficult to say, hey, I'm just going to leave and I hope I get referrals, you know? So I did my research. I looked at the market. I talked to different people, and I would say the majority of folks were very supportive. Say, Tim, now's the time. Go at it. That's a great idea. That's a niche market. There's no one else doing this, you know, in this area. And they were very supportive. Some people, you know, gave me a reality check. They said, well, you know, you better really think about it, because, you know, with a state job, you have a pension, you have health care. The other thing that really helped me, of course, I say, you know, I'm going through this wonderful life with the best lady in the world, my wife, Annie. And she was working at Hiram G. Andrews Center as well. So, you know, and we had a family. So, of course, insurance, health care, that's very important. So even if I stepped away, I knew we would still be covered under her insurance. So that helped.
You're so spot on with that description, though. You're talking about the fact that you're walking away from a steady paycheck and, like, for lack of a better term, guaranteed income.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right. Yes.
And yet you are also correct in the fact that you've got a niche market. This is an area where there's not a whole lot of competition. And right. Because I'm thinking about, you know, like, for example, down here, I'm just outside of Pittsburgh, and there's mm-hmm. Harmerville Rehabilitation mm-hmm. Center, and they used to have a driving program, but I don't think they have that anymore. And so how do you grow from being a part-time side hustle guy with a car with hand controls into now being, I don't know if the term is a subcontractor or whatever it is, that you are now the go-to guy for all of the area rehabilitation centers who have folks with disabilities who want to learn how to drive to get that independence?
It takes time and effort. It takes time and effort. Really, I mean, one of the biggest things I've learned being a business owner, once I stepped away from Hiram G. Andrews, went on my own full time, it's all about connections. You have to have personal connections with people. You know, you have to, and that means with, you know, you get a good example with Harmerville Rehab. So, you know, I make connections with the administrators there. And when they decided that they were no longer going to do a program, then I went in and basically sat with them and gave them a proposal to say, hey, I can do driver rehab for you or with you. And they loved that idea, because there's a driving program is great, but there's a lot of expense. There's the vehicle, there's insurance, there's all that that goes with it. And a lot of hospital settings didn't want that. They didn't want the headache of the car and all that. So part of what I learned is to, when you go in and want to partner with, especially big entity, you know, you want to go in with solutions in hand. So how can I make your facility better? How can I help your clients? And so that's what I did with Harmerville. And really, I've contracted with them for probably 18 years.
Yeah, wow. So you talked about making connections and establishing relationships. Are you finding those relationships? I'm assuming you're trying to form relationships with everybody that you can, but there are so many different players in this game. So I'm thinking about a company like MobilityWorks, who is a company, they are the ones that actually create the modified vans. You've got the rehabilitation centers like HGA and Harmerville, and even some of the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center spinal cord units. Where would you say the most productive relationships are? Are they on the kind of the client side? Are they on the facility side? Are they on the manufacturer side? Where, so if, when folks are out there looking to build relationships, do you have some tips on where to focus those relationships?
I would say, and I say this very truthfully, Rob, I treat each relationship as important as I treat my relationship with you as important as I do with MobilityWorks, because it is that important. My relationship with you, the consumer, my student, or whatever you want to say, is number one. I mean, because I want you to have the vehicle you want, provided it works, the equipment that is right for you, and I want you to be happy. And that's what I tell everyone. I said, driving should be fun. You shouldn't have to think about, oh, I've got to get into this vehicle and I got to struggle to do this. You've got to be able to say, hey, kids, let's go get some ice cream, okay? Yeah. Or, you know what, why don't we take a trip? Why don't we go to Ocean City, wherever, okay? That's what it's about. If I do that for you, then you're happy, I'm happy, and that's most important, okay? So there's different relationships with different entities. My relationship with MobilityWorks is, hey, I want to write the best prescription for them. So there's no question. When they see my prescription, they see, oh, okay, Tim wants this, 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 and this for this customer. Okay. And it should be right. There shouldn't be, they should, oh, you know, is this right for this person? You know, so that's my relationship with, and I work with all the vendors. I mean, sure. In the whole Mid-Atlantic, from MobilityWorks to Keystone Coach and Total Mobility, we work with all of them. That's my relationship with the vendors. And, you know, I have an open line of communication with everyone, Rob. I tell everyone, hey, if you have a question, you're with a client or a customer, and you have a question, you call me, you know, call myself, okay? I just truthfully this morning I talked with a mobility person, and he had a question about a prescription. I mean, he knew he could pick up the phone and call me, you know, and in 5 minutes I answered his question. So that relationship is just as important. And then with the other facilities, so a hospital setting, or let's say a third party agency like the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, the counselors rely on me and my expertise, and not just me, but it's my team. I sure. have to give a shout out to my team here, Rob.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, but they are relying on me and my team to do the very best evaluation for the customer, do the training, and then do a prescription. And again, that's so all, I will say all the relation, every relationship is a little bit different, but they're all equally important.
Right. But in hearing you talk, what it sounds like though is it has to start with the relationship with the consumer, the client, because as long as it starts with them being happy and them having the independence, and then that flows up the chain so that. Yeah. As long as the end consumer is getting what they need and having a positive experience out of that, that's going to make the van accessibility shops happy. That's going to make the hospital and rehab facilities happy. It all starts and the whole thing flows. But I also am hearing what you're saying is that every relationship and the whole thing is interdependent and it's all important. And you kind of can't focus on one over the other. It's build them all.
Exactly.
So Tim, as you grow this, you start off with a guy with a car and a part-time job. It grows. You talked about your team. What have you grown to today?
Right now, we are at 18 employees.
That's amazing. And let me, just for people that are curious out there, tell me, what types of adaptive equipment do you use? Is it all hand controls? What? And I know that that's a huge question. Can you just give us just a quick overview of what is available to help people drive?
Absolutely, Rob. We have, the short story is we have almost every type of adaptive equipment. So we break it into two sections. Low-tech equipment, which is basically mechanical hand controls and like a spinner knob that you put on the steering wheel, okay? We have that, or we have a left-sided gas pedal. So let's say someone had a right leg amputation and their left leg is good, then we could train them with a left-sided gas pedal. Pretty basic stuff. We have that in all of our cars. We've got 15 cars. So if someone can transfer in and out of a car, someone might be in a manual wheelchair and they can transfer in and out of a car fine.
Sure.
And they can put their wheelchair in, you know, not a problem. So they can do that. And then with our vans, we've got both low-tech hand controls because some people can't transfer that well. So maybe they can't get in and out of a car very well. Van would be easier. So we've got low-tech controls on the van. We've also got mid-tech controls, which is maybe a little bit of a mix of electronic. Maybe the steering's easier. Maybe we have a couple touch pads that they can do some things. Then we move up to the real high-tech equipment, which you are very familiar with.
Yes.
So now we're talking what we call servo controls, or I say it's similar to like airplane controls. So you've got a little handle for the gas and brake, similar to an airplane. And then you've got a little steering wheel that does all the steering. Or we can take that off and we can put a joystick controller on. So we have all different levels with the high tech that we can try. And that's what really sets us apart from any other school that I know of.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And let me just say, Tim, that with my van, you have created a monster just due to the fact that, you know, with my family, it's more than just running to the store. It's more than just going out for ice cream. When we decide to go on vacation, I don't fly because when I fly, number one, my wheelchair gets all banged up. But number two, when we get there, then we have to rent an accessible vehicle, which I can't drive. And I get that caged up feeling where it's like, you know, can somebody please drive me to the store? I feel like a little kid. So I'm driving everywhere I go so that I have the independence, which here's the crazy part. We go down to Florida where my in-laws live in Clearwater. It's an 18-hour drive. I'm doing it all myself and I'm doing it in one shot. Like that. So this is, it's probably not recommended, but I'm just telling you, that's the level of independence that what you're doing is created. Thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for being on the show today. Tim, if people are looking to get a hold of you and find out more about what you have to offer, where can they find you?
Absolutely. They can find, we're on our internet. We're on the web at, you just Google BrantsDrivingSchool.com. And we're also on Facebook. So again, just search out Brant's Driving School and you can find us there. I'm also on LinkedIn. So if you search my name on LinkedIn, I'd be glad to hook up with you and make a connection. Sure.
You have been fantastic. You are indeed smart. I have learned from you. It is time for my favorite part of the show, which is three questions to establish your humanity. You ready for these?
I'm ready. Shoot, Rob.
All right. So, Tim, if somebody comes up to where you are in Johnstown after COVID is over and you have your choice of all of the restaurants in Johnstown, what is the local place that you're taking them to eat to get a flavor for Johnstown?
I would. There's many great restaurants in Johnstown, but if I had my favorite, I would pick Asiago's. Which Asiago's? It's on in Johnstown. We're famous for an incline plane. I know Pittsburgh is, but we have the steepest one here, Rob.
Nice.
So on at the incline plane in Johnstown, there's a restaurant called Asiago's. Wonderful food. You've got a great view. You're looking over the city, and anyone who comes in to visit, that's where I take.
Beautiful. Is there any advice or anything that your parents told you when you were a kid that still sticks with you, and it's something that is kind of words to live by even today?
My parents were wonderful, great influences on me. I grew up on a dairy farm, so my dad was very soft-spoken, but I saw him get up every day of the year. When you have dairy cattle, I'm sure, Rob, you know that there's no holiday, there's no break for the cows. They have to be milked every day.
Right.
And I saw, you know, my dad got up every day at 5 o'clock and would be out there milking the cows, working hard. And I probably learned more from his example that way. And he was always a kind guy. He would lead by example. And so, you know, I learned so much from him that way. My mom stressed education to all of us kids. She said, whatever you do, get an education. And she made sure, I mean, if we didn't do well in school, you didn't want to come home.
Right.
Okay. So she stressed that. And I think that's what gave me a love of learning, throughout my life. So she was very instrumental that way. And the other thing was always telling the truth, you know, never lie, no matter if it's whatever bad it is, it's okay. Just tell me the truth.
Beautiful. All right. Last one. This one's super easy. You are doing a lot of driving, and I'm assuming that you've got the radio on when you don't have a client in the car.
Yes.
What is the one song that will come on the radio and make you sing along every time?
I'm an 80s rocker, Rob.
Nice.
So, you know, I have to say, when I hear I Can't Drive 55 by Sammy Hagar,
okay,
I mean, how appropriate is that?
It is fitting. So fitting. Fantastic. Tim, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you. And I think that we've all learned about you, about your business, about the independence that you offer, and also some ideas for folks who are looking at that concept of I'm working, but I'm working to pay the bills, and I've got something I'm passionate about, and you're serving people and doing a great job at it. Hey, thank you for being on. All my listeners, I appreciate you as well. Go ahead and click the subscribe button, leave us a review, and I will remind you, as always, when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.